Welcome to Grand Rapids Daily for Friday, April 24th, 2026. I'm your host, and we've got a busy show lined up for you today.
I'm your co-host. Before we dive into the news, let's take a quick look at the forecast. If you're stepping out in downtown Grand Rapids this morning, we are sitting right around 64 degrees with some broken clouds.
It's actually feeling pretty mild right now, and we should hit a high of about 72 degrees later this afternoon. But you will definitely want to keep an umbrella handy and an eye on the sky if you have evening plans.
That's right. We're expecting light rain to start moving in around noon, and those precipitation chances jump up to nearly 70% by 6 p.m. More importantly, the National Weather Service has issued a warning for potential severe storms in southwest Michigan for this evening.
April weather in West Michigan is notoriously volatile, so please stay weather aware as those fronts move through. After the storms pass, temperatures are going to drop sharply, getting down into the mid-40s by Saturday morning.
A classic spring roller coaster for us. All right, let's get into our top stories.
Our first major story today looks at the logistical realities of a massive new development in downtown Grand Rapids. The highly anticipated Acrisure Amphitheater is scheduled to officially open its doors on May 15th, 2026. It's a 12,000-seat outdoor venue that has been touted as a game-changer for the local economy.
It really is a huge milestone for the city's entertainment footprint. But bringing 12,000 people into the downtown corridor for a single event creates an enormous logistical puzzle, particularly when it comes to public safety and traffic management. The Grand Rapids Police Department has been running the numbers, and the staffing requirements are significant.
Significant might be an understatement. The GRPD estimates that each event at the amphitheater will require approximately 24 officers just to handle traffic control and crowd security. To put that into perspective, 24 officers constitutes an entire patrol shift for the department.
Right, and that's the core of the issue. You can't just pull an entire shift of officers off their regular beats to manage a concert. The rest of the city still needs standard patrol coverage. That means those 24 officers have to be working on an overtime basis. And of course, overtime means a substantial increase in personnel costs. Which brings us to the financial breakdown. Currently, the funding for this required overtime is split into three pieces. 36% of the cost is being paid by Legends Global, the private partner involved with the venue. Another 36% is being covered by Mobile GR, which manages the city's parking and mobility services. And that leaves a remaining 28%. Right now, that 28% is being absorbed directly by the GRPD and the city. That's a point of serious contention, because it effectively means taxpayer dollars are subsidizing the security and traffic control for a privately operated entertainment venue. Exactly. Critics argue that a venue generating significant private revenue should be entirely responsible for the ancillary cost it creates, rather than passing almost a third of the police overtime bill onto the city's general fund. City officials are acutely aware of this, and they are currently in active negotiations to redistribute that 28% share. This is all coming to a head very soon. The issue is expected to be a primary focus at the upcoming City Commission meeting on April 28th. The commission is going to have to figure out if they can successfully shift that remaining burden away from the city's budget before the venue opens in mid-May. It's a tricky balancing act. On one hand, the city wants the amphitheater to be a massive success. It brings tourism, it fills hotel rooms, and it generates tax revenue at local restaurants and bars. But on the other hand, if you're pulling 24 officers for overtime multiple nights a week during the summer concert season, you run the risk of officer burnout.
Burnout is a major concern. The GRPD, like many police departments nationwide, has faced its own recruiting and retention challenges over the past few years. Mandating or even heavily relying on voluntary overtime to cover these events puts a lot of strain on the rank and file. And what happens on a night when there's a sold-out show at the Acrisure Amphitheater and simultaneously a major event at Van Andel Arena just up the street?
That's the compounding effect that city planners are worried about. Van Andel Arena also holds about 12,000 people. If both venues let out at 11 p.m. on a Friday night, you have 24,000 people trying to navigate downtown streets, get to parking ramps, and hop on the highways all at once. The traffic control alone requires a highly coordinated effort.
It's also worth looking at how Mobile GR is funding their 36% share. They generate revenue through downtown parking fees. With 12,000 attendees, parking demand is going to surge, which theoretically increases Mobile GR's revenue to help offset that cost. But the police department doesn't have a similar revenue-generating mechanism to cover their absorbed 28%. That's why the April 28th meeting is so critical. If the city cannot negotiate a deal where Legends Global or another entity picks up that remaining cost, the city will have to eat it. And in a municipal budget where every dollar is fought over, finding the money for an entire shift's worth of overtime on a regular basis is going to require cuts somewhere else. We will definitely be keeping a close eye on that commission meeting. The outcome will set a major precedent for how Grand Rapids handles public-private partnerships and infrastructure demands for future large-scale developments.
Turning now to state politics, the budget battle in Lansing is officially underway, and the opening moves are already generating a lot of heat. On Wednesday, April 22nd, the Republican-led Michigan House of Representatives approved a $76 billion state budget proposal.
And they got this through in a series of very narrow, strictly party-line votes. This is not a bipartisan consensus document. It is a stark outline of conservative fiscal priorities, and it includes some incredibly aggressive cuts to state departments.
The most shocking numbers in this proposal are aimed squarely at higher education. The House budget would reduce operational funding for both the University of Michigan and Michigan State University by over 60%. Let that sink in, a 60% cut to the state's two largest flagship universities.
It's a staggering figure. House Appropriations Committee Chair Ann Bolin, a Republican from Brighton, defended the proposal by pointing to the state's broader fiscal picture. She stated that the budget identifies $2 billion in total savings, which she argues is necessary to address an $800 million funding shortfall.
The math there is interesting. If the shortfall is $800 million, identifying $2 billion in savings means they are cutting significantly deeper than just balancing the books. They are actively trying to shrink the footprint of state spending or reallocate those funds away from institutions like U of M and MSU.
Exactly. And critics are quick to point out the real-world implications if a 60% cut were to actually take effect. Universities rely on state operational funding to subsidize in-state tuition. If you remove more than half of that state support overnight, the universities would almost certainly have to pass that cost on to students, resulting in massive tuition hikes for Michigan families. Not to mention the impact on research, faculty retention, and the local economies in Ann Arbor and East Lansing. However, it is crucial to view this through the lens of legislative strategy. The Michigan Senate is controlled by Democrats, and they are expected to move their own, vastly different budget proposal in the coming weeks. Right. In Lansing, the House and the Senate each draft their own budgets, and then they have to reconcile them. So this House proposal is essentially an opening bid. It's a statement of values from the Republican caucus. They know a 60% cut to higher education won't survive the Democratic Senate, let alone get a signature from Governor Gretchen Whitmer. It sets up a very contentious negotiation period over the summer. The state's fiscal year begins on October 1st, so they have a few months to hash this out. But starting this far apart, geographically, ideologically, and financially, means finding a compromise is going to be incredibly difficult.
The dynamic of divided government in Michigan is on full display here. The administration wants to maintain or expand funding for education and infrastructure, while the House GOP is using their majority to demand austerity. Using the state's flagship universities as the primary target for those cuts is a bold political move, likely aimed at energizing their base, who may feel these institutions are out of step with conservative values.
And while U of M and MSU are taking the brunt of the headlines, the House proposal includes cuts across nearly all state departments. We will be tracking this closely as the Senate introduces their version, which will likely restore that funding and perhaps propose revenue increases elsewhere, setting the stage for the final showdown.
All right, let's pivot and hit a few more local stories making the rounds today.
Sounds good. Let's get into the roundup.
Down in Holland Charter Township, longtime township manager Steve Boltice is preparing for retirement. The township is actively seeking a new superintendent, advertising a salary range between $152,000 and $176,000.
Over on the Grand Rapids subreddit, users were asking about those decorative light towers on the US 131 S-curve. They were actually installed during the $145 million reconstruction back in 2000 to look like lighthouses. It's funny how quickly urban design context gets lost. But if you like them, take a good look now. Reports indicate those specific towers are scheduled for removal and replacement with more efficient lighting during this year's construction season.
Also on Reddit, a Kentwood resident posted surveillance footage of an unidentified man wandering near the back of their house around midnight near 52nd Street and Eastern Avenue. The individual was apparently spooked by a floodlight and took off. It's an isolated incident for now, but it's a prime example of how residents are increasingly using local online forums to crowdsource neighborhood security.
Finally, the Greater Grand Rapids Democratic Socialists of America are holding a public chapter meeting this Sunday, April 26th, at 1 p.m. The meeting is taking place at the Dock on South Division Avenue. They are also offering a Zoom option for those who want to tune in to their discussions on local organizing around workers' rights and housing justice.
That is going to do it for today's episode of Grand Rapids Daily.
Thanks so much for listening. Be sure to check the show notes for links to all the stories we covered today.
Stay safe out there with those potential evening storms, and we will see you back here tomorrow.